If you have pencil paper, you might want to write this down because it's important that you understand this. There are four things that you need to know when interpreting Scripture. They're very important. Number one, the role of the Holy Spirit on our human spirit. The role that the Holy Spirit plays on our human spirit. Number two, the position our body has been declared after being born again. Extremely important. The position our body has been declared after being born again. I'll share some things with you that the Lord began to go over with me when I had this opportunity to be in His presence for 5 days, even though I was around other people and stuff. How many of you have been around other people but yet connected right up to the Holy Ghost? You got to be careful what people say to you because you can say yes to when you should have said no. Yeah. Number three, the position our human spirit has been declared after being born again. The position our human spirit has been declared after being born again. And then the fourth one, the position of the body of Christ that is declared in the church on earth. The position of the body of Christ and what is declared in the church on the earth. Him being the head, the church, which is His body, being the body of Christ in the earth. Now, the Lord began to speak to me, and it kind of caught me off guard because He's getting easier for me to hear His voice as I develop and grow in the things of the Lord. And you'll find that true for yourself, that the more insight that you get, the easier His voice becomes. Somebody said, well, how can you best define hearing His voice? The sad thing about that is each of us have to experience it for ourselves. Sometimes it's hard to put it into words, what I experience versus what you experience. But the Holy Spirit, well, I should say Jesus, had given me heads up that many believers today are very careless when it comes to understanding the role that the Holy Spirit plays in the body of Christ in the earth and how important it is. It's very important. And when we're not conscious or aware of the Holy Spirit being in us, if we're not constantly aware of and keeping in mind of the Holy Spirit within us, we're more prone to do what we desire to do from the outward man than the inward. And so it helps us to keep our mind focused on the Holy Spirit that is within us. I don't know if you all remember, we had a young lady years ago come and give her testimony about being stranded from an airplane that couldn't take off because of bad weather, and they had to go and get into this auditorium. And then a minister had heard about Elaine Homer being in this auditorium and came and got her and said, come and stay at my house. And she gave this story about the horrendous horror of the filth and the dirt that was in this home. And he was a minister doing her a favor so she wouldn't have to stay in the auditorium. And she felt that she wished she'd have stayed in the auditorium. Because even where he put her to bed, She folded back the sheets and they were so unchanged, filthy, that they had cotton wads, cotton balls, hair balls in the bed. And so she was so upset that she went into the bathroom and started crying. And she said, "Lord, why didn't you warn me? I know that these people are wonderful people. I know he's a minister of the gospel. But this home is filthy. Can you help share with me how to endure this? I know they mean well, but it sounds like we're going to be here for a whole 3 or 4 days." And he said, "Elaine, now you know the feeling that the Holy Spirit has when he resides within the heart of men that is not cleaned up." And boy, how many of you remember that story? I remember it vividly. And when she got through, it began to give me a more of awareness or a consciousness of how I conduct my life outwardly, because he is with me forever. Ever present with me. And the Lord said, "This Sunday I want you to share with my people the importance of being aware of my Holy Spirit within them." You know, the Jewish nation, one of the things that I have found in Scripture is the Jewish nation, that was one of the criticisms that they had with Jesus. Because Jesus says that it must needs that I go so that when I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And many of the priests, scribes, and Pharisees mocked him because they said the Holy Spirit has been here ever since Genesis 1:1. And so they didn't understand where Jesus was coming from. But Jesus was coming from a whole different perspective than what they were aware of. He was talking about the Holy Spirit, who was residing over the nation of Israel, would move from that which is outward to that which is inward. And in John chapter 14, verse 16, matter of fact, if you would, turn over there, John 14, 16. We might cover quite a bit of scripture. I'll try my best not to, but John 14, 16. It says here, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you." Now notice this. "And will be in you." Amen. Now notice what he says next. He says, "I'm not going to leave you orphanless." Right. Boy, today we have so many children, especially in this time frame. Mike and I had talked about it, about this generation, and we got into the subject of how many children are fatherless. They don't have father figures. Like in my generation, there was more people with a father figure than there are now. Matter of fact, children are confused now because now they're having to come out of a marriage marked by the same sex. And so the generation is in a state of confusion. And the good news is that we as the church have an answer for this dying generation. We have an answer for it. But if the answer isn't doing us any good, then how's it going to do somebody else any good? Now, notice he says, "I will give you another helper." And the word helper here is a very interesting word. It is made up of three different Greek words. And it literally says that the helper, when he comes, he's going to literally join himself to you pick up his end of the load while you pick up your end of the load so that he can assist you in carrying it with you together. Now, there's another place where he says when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to give you another comforter. And our modern English translated comforter to consoler. But the original meaning of that word comforter means one who infuses strength in you. Very interesting. We have narrowed it down to its meaning of consoling when that was not its original intent. Matter of fact, I did a newsletter on that, and I got a lot of responses back from a lot of ministers thanking me for that insight because they went and found out for themselves that was true. It meant that when he come to bring comfort to your life, he wasn't saying to console you where you need help. He's coming to infuse an ability, achieving ability in you so that you can overcome the dictates that life has to offer. Wow. Now he says in verse 26, whom the Father will send. And verse 29 says that when he sends him, the Holy Spirit will help you that you may believe. Wow. He sent the Holy Spirit to reside within me, to also help me, not only to assist me in my load, but also help me to believe. I'm going to tell you something. When you have fellowship with the Spirit, there's an energy that begins to develop in you, and your faith on the inside begins to rise up in you, and you have the ability to believe beyond your natural self because you're connected with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. And we're living in a time frame when the church is lacking an understanding of the Holy Spirit. Kenneth Hagin said he had a vision back in 62. And he said he was astounded at the vision. But he said, and that actually happened back in the 60s. He said that Jesus had sat down with him in a garden and began to express to Kenneth Hagin, look beyond the garden. And he looked beyond the garden and he saw these waves coming at him. And Kenneth Hagin said, what is that? Is that water? Well, what is that? And as the waves got closer, he noticed it was people. And he looked to Jesus and he said, what, these are waves of people. What is this, Jesus? And Jesus says, there is going to come a move of my Spirit, and it's going to affect many people through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Woo! And I was a part of that. I came in through the Jesus movement. And boy, everything was Holy Ghost. Dennis and Rita Bennett, they were instrumental in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget going to one meeting when I was just fresh in the Lord. And I went to hear this Episcopalian priest that had a collar talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that place was packed. But I sensed the presence and the dynamic presence of the Holy Ghost all over me. And I made a decision in my heart. I want all that there is of the Holy Spirit. That's when my mind was made up. I want it. And I wasn't inundated by any Christian upbringing in churches. My background was sin. And so no one ever taught me that tongues were of the devil. The only thing I found out about tongues was a direct line to God. And that came through a converted hippie. It's good enough for me. I'm going to kiss that brother all over when I get to heaven. Because he said, when I walked up to him and I said, my brother told me you were filled with the Holy Ghost. Beard, long hair. He looked at me and I said, what has that done for you? He says, brother, that's a direct line to God.
Hallelujah.
I gotta have them tongues. I gotta have them tongues. I have a direct landline to God. At that time, you know, the Samsung earphone wasn't that popular. Now notice he says that you may believe. In John 15:26 it says, when the helper comes, the same thing. John chapter 16, turn over there. John chapter 16, I want to show you something. In John chapter 16, let's go to verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. Now, I'm going to tell you something. How many has got to admit to me, anybody, how many of you got to admit that if Jesus was here personally, standing right here next to me, how many of you would agree I have an advantage? My buddy's here. But here he says to the disciples, nevertheless, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, this is where it is referred to as comforter, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Now notice, to convince the world of error. And he says, and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the rulers of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, notice that verse, he says, but you cannot bear them now. Underline the word bear. Underline it. But you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he will tell you things to come. Notice, he will not speak on his own authority. Now, we're going to get into something here that's going to give you a little understanding about your outer man and the subject of the Holy Spirit. This word bear, the reason I wanted you to go to it, is because when I looked up the meaning of this word, I was flabbergasted. I was literally stunned. You know something? Sometimes we read scripture and we don't get the full impact or meaning of what Jesus says. You know, Jesus used few words. But when he selected those words that were few, they had some powerful meaning behind them. And this word bear is very interesting. When I looked at it, from the original meaning of it, here's what I'd come up with. I wrote it down, and I'm just going to read it to you. If you want to write it down, go ahead. He says, you cannot bear them now. Now, why did he say that? Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come. So he was saying, because the Holy Spirit has not yet come, you can't bear something right now. And this word bear means to remove or change your current walk, to lift up and receive, endure, declare, sustain, to carry his walk. You guys didn't get it. He literally says, until the Holy Spirit comes, you do not have the ability to be my witnesses because of the walk I will declare you to walk. How many times have you, when you first got saved, got a revelation that you were to overcome certain sin in your life. Nobody ever had that problem? Just your pastor? I'm going to tell you something. There were some issues in my life I knew I couldn't change on my own. I knew I needed the help of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, I got so desperate at every one of those instances that God reacted on my behalf and set me free from it. Glory to God. You know my story about cigarettes. That cigarette, when I got a revelation that if I'm going to lay hands on the sick, I can't be doing it holding a cigarette in my hand. I got a revelation that pornography, the only way I could break it is to covenant with my eyes like David did. I'm going to covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to look at it no more. You know, within yourself, that is hopeless. Why? Because people, I'm going to tell you something. This walk with God has nothing to do with your outer man. It has everything to do with what God has made you spiritually. Now, I was reading a book called The Renewing of the Mind. And when I got halfway through the book, I began to realize this particular minister has no concept, no understanding whatsoever of the body of flesh and what it has been declared. Because he was literally teaching New Age concept that change really begins outward to inward. All of the new birth does is put you into heaven. Oh my gosh, this guy doesn't know what it means to be born again. He has no concept of understanding that the only success you and I will ever have is the fact that the Holy Spirit can move on the inside of us and demote or to diminish the outside of us so that we can amplify the kingdom of God through our outer man. You can't do this through your outward man. It's a spiritual birthing, not a physical birth. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 14. 14. Now, we've got it understood clearly that the Holy Spirit has come. Do you guys believe that? If you don't, we'll get you born again, get you filled with the Holy Ghost. No, he's came. Now I want to emphasize something, and I know you might have heard this, but I want to get it across to you so crystal clear that you'll begin to have a different outlook. And this is what God spoke to me in this 5-day time that I was fasting with him in my mind, in my thoughts. And this is what he told me. He says, many of my people think that the Holy Spirit speaks through them, to them. And he says, really, I speak to their spirit, and their spirit speaks through the physical man.
Yeah. Right.
The Holy Spirit does not speak in tongues through you. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to speak in tongues, but you are the speaker of the tongue. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14, in the Amplified, puts it this way, and the reason I'm quoting it out of the Amplified, because it did such a wonderful job of the meaning of what it means to have an unknown tongue. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, notice he says, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit that helps nobody. Now, in order for you to understand that verse, you got to understand where your physical man had been declared. Where has your physical man been declared? Crucified on the cross, that you might be given over to a new you, which is your spirit. For when you were in the flesh. What does that mean? You're not flesh creatures any longer. You're spiritual beings. Now, the problem is the church is not doing its job to develop you spiritually. It wants to give you all the promises that bring a comfort to your outward man. And listen, that is not what the kingdom of God is all about. The kingdom of God is all about doing something on the inside of you so it takes control of the outside of you and everybody benefits, including yourself. In Acts chapter 10, verse 45, 46, and Acts 19, verse 6, and 1 Corinthians 14, 18, it says, they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Matter of fact, over in 1 Corinthians 14, 8, I thank God I speak in tongues more than ye all. Matter of fact, in one of the verses, Paul said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. But some theologian come along and said, nah, tongues have been done away with. As a matter of fact, not everybody's going to speak in tongues. Right away, you're telling everybody it's not necessary to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And my Bible does not teach that. Amen. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you don't think you do, turn your TV set on. The whole world is pumping its filth on us. And we need an inward witness to help encourage and strengthen and infuse a commitment in our life for them and the world. He did not say the Holy Spirit spoke in tongues through me. It isn't the Holy Spirit doing the praying. It is the Holy Spirit helping our spirits to pray. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there are some Christians who says it's not for everybody, right away when they say that, they're ignorant of what the Holy Spirit is all about. And when I told this person this one time. I said, what you're saying out of your mouth is not correct. And he says, well, boy, you're sure upset about my opinion. And I said, I'm not upset about your opinion. God is upset about your opinion. He said, where is that? I said, oh, that's in Matthew chapter 12. So let's go over there to Matthew chapter 12. And you know, I'm giving you this information so that you can apply the same thing to somebody else, help somebody else not to be held accountable for something that they should not let out of their mouth. In Matthew chapter 12, let's go to verse 32. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, neither in this age or in the age to come. Actually, in the Greek, it's the ages that will come. You know what that tells me? That tells me of the importance that Jesus had to send the Holy Spirit to come into us, inside us, and begin to work with our spirit. Because the Holy Spirit reveals Christ in us. It's the only way. Or otherwise, your outward man is left to his own opinion. And the job of the Holy Spirit is to really convince you of when you do miss the mark. And if you remove that ability, then what hope have you got to grow spiritually? Now, I'm going to tell you what has helped me over the years. It has actually pulled me out of ruts. Is the place that we cross in our life called the Sahara Desert. Have any of you ever crossed the Sahara Desert? You know what that means? That means there's times of our life when we get dry, we get complacent, we become indifferent. It's like walking through the Sahara. The first thing you need is water. I'll never forget how my outward man challenged my inward man. I thought it was so cool that I could go into the park and pray 2-3 hours in the Holy Ghost. Oh, I was excited about that. Oh, I love it. Oh, I love it, praying in the Holy Ghost. But one thing I forgot is that when I go into my prayer closet to pray in the Holy Ghost, I forgot that I bring my outward man with me. You guys getting a little hint here? And I discovered that one morning when I woke up, and all of a sudden, this voice came to me and said, "Oh no! You gotta go down to the park and pray for 3 hours today." Where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. My outward man was excited about it because he was getting the glory on. He was going and he was talking to somebody he knows nothing about. But he liked the idea of being in the presence of God till he got tired of it. And so you wake up one morning and your Holy Ghost doesn't want to go nowhere. No, it isn't the Holy Ghost not wanting to go. It's your outward man not wanting to. And I remember I had to pick myself up out of that bed, in my imagination, of course. I said, "No, you will not pull that on me today." And I drug him down the hall in my imagination. And I went out and I threw him in the bed of my pickup truck. "Now you shut up until I get through." And inside of me was screaming, "Oh!" And I got into that pickup and I drove down to that park and Jesus had to assist me. He was waiting there at the entrance. So I went and prayed. And I'll never forget walking around that bowl and coming to the other side of it. And he asked me, "What do you see?" And I looked across the bowl and I just told him what I saw in the natural. I even see my pickup across the bowl. And the Lord said, "Well, you said right." He said, "But all that time you were praying in tongues," he said, "I know how many steps you took, and I knew what you prayed. And that results will come back on you." And that's when I got the revelation, my outer man is not my commitment to God. It's my inner man. It is a sad day when I hear so many Christians say, "What's wrong with me? Why don't I have the joy that I had? Why can't I overcome? Why am I full of these fears? Why do every time I turn around something bad happens? What am I going through? What is the Lord trying to tell me? I'm so confused. I don't know where I belong. I don't know what my calling is. I don't know nothing." That way it tells me no fellowship of the Spirit. And Paul said in Romans chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, "And may the communion or fellowship of the Spirit be with you all." You know what? My whole life is going to always have confusion in it. But I'll tell you what, my whole life in the confusion that will come, I can always be prepared with the answer to the confusion that will come. Because the answer was here before the fall. People, we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit more in our lifetime right now so that we can be a living example for those who have need of our life. We do not need to be believers that are like Velcro. Everything sticks to us. We need to make a difference. And I'm not talking about by judging everybody. I'm talking about being an answer for everybody through the help of the Holy Spirit. So he warns us right here very clearly. He says, listen, you better be careful how you talk about the Holy Spirit, because you're going to be held accountable to the damage that has done. You've got to face what the results of your talking about the Holy Ghost. You got to face the results of that. Everyone's going to be held accountable, because the Holy Spirit is the only one that can reveal the kingdom of God to us. So if you don't really know anything about the Holy Spirit, keep your mouth shut anyway. Well, I don't know why I'm preaching so hard. You're all in agreement with me anyway. We are living in the greatest opportunity of our time. The greatest opportunity, because this is when the Holy Spirit has moved into the hearts of men. And this is why the world, that Satan cannot overtake the world, is because the church is in the world, and the church is the restrainer, not the Holy Spirit. The church is the restrainer, because the Holy Spirit resides within the spirit of believers, and he gives us the ability to be led by him so we can control planet Earth. Over people who need God. You see, our business is not to convict the world of sin. Our business is to bring the world to an understanding that God loves them so much that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. Then the Holy Spirit works that out in them. Glory to God. I don't have to get up here and preach a sermon about the blood being up to the bridle of the horses and, oh, God, just going to rip everybody apart. Now, here's the time period we're living in until the catching away of the church. The Holy Spirit, this is what he spoke to me this last week. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the present day ministry of Jesus for the nations. Amen. For the nations. The Jewish nation was and again will be the revealer for the nations. When the church is removed, then God will move in and present himself as their Messiah again, even though they missed the first visitation. And then through that nation, he will preach to the nations again that last 7-year period. That's the love of God. And he reached more souls. Now, I don't know about you, but the greatest thing that I've learned as a pastor is how the Lord can assist me in changing me by hearing that inward voice. Now, the beautiful thing about it is that while I'm learning that process, every once in a while God moves into a service in his presence, and then we have fun. How many of you enjoy that time when there's just a move of the Holy Ghost? And God takes over the service. That death. And you know what I found? That because God will do that, he'll come in and have a move of his spirit. It's usually the ones who are the most ignorant who benefits by it the most. Because they come in contact with that which they cannot visibly or physically understand, but there's a move of God in our midst that they can't define, but they know it's there. Come on, some of you have been in some of our meetings in the church. Well, I get up to preach something and God says, get rid of your notes and let me move. But the beautiful thing about that is we as a church, we need that move. But the problem is that is not what changes us. It is an inward anointing that is at work within our hearts that changes. But it's the outward anointing that comes upon the body of Christ that reaches the unreachable. Now, are you ready for this? The move of the Holy Ghost can only happen if you permit it to come out of you.
That's right.
But it's better that you permit the Holy Spirit to come out through you for a supernatural move when you're educated. When you're not educated, then a move of God can be brought to a shame. What I'm talking about is these revivals that we used to have. And then sure enough, people were reduced to animals. Well, it's because a move of God doesn't do anybody any good unless the body of Christ is stable itself. Paul even said that in 1 Corinthians 14. If you're going to be spiritual, communicate clearly to people. I hope this is helping you because we need to get a revelation. Hey, the Holy Spirit is an important part of our life. But here's the thing. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. This is going to shock some of you. I want you to get a hold of it. Are you ready? Your inner man can only exercise the kingdom of God through you. But it has to come through your outer man.
Yeah.
Yep. Guess who holds the authority in this earth? Concerning you. Who holds the authority in this earth? In this earth. Who holds the authority on this planet? This body of flesh. Your flesh man holds the authority on this planet. And the only way that your flesh man loses its ability to hold you in its authority is that you have to put it in a place of crucifixion. You have to reckon him as good as dead. You have to let rigor mortis set in so that the kingdom of God can come from the inside of you, out of you. And that's why it's important, even in a move of God, that someone who's conducting that move knows what he's doing. Because if he doesn't, you won't really have a blessed move of God. You'll have a weirdness that begins to develop. I know, I've been in some of them meetings. I'll never forget the one here that we had. I hope nobody's here from that meeting, but there was a whole line of them. And I asked this minister and his wife to come in, and he did somersaults and violin, and she sat up here, right here, and went, nick, nick. And I was looking at him, what is that? Nick, nick. And then all of a sudden in these rolls, ruff, ruff, ruff. What is happening? Believers have gone to animals? So I pulled something I shouldn't have pulled. I got out in the back there and I started doing the macho, macho man. And they saw it and didn't like it. I got rebuked for it, but that's okay. I needed it. But I love a move of God. I love a move of God where people know that it's a move of God. It's not something conjured up. But it's something that's solid. And I look forward to it. But I'll tell you, that is not how God always moves. Sometimes he'll move in the Word. He'll move through a prophecy. But everything the Holy Spirit imparts to us has to come through our outer man. And our outer man holds the authority in the existence of us that's walking here. Now, how do I know that? Luke chapter 11. I'm going to close with you turning over to Luke 11. And I don't know about you guys, but I believe that we're going to see some more moves of God. Not only in our church, but all over. And I told the Lord, I says, Lord, prepare me for that. And he says, I will. I'll let you know. Jesus is teaching about prayer here. And at verse 5, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Notice, because of his persistence. Well, if you go on and read, he literally says a house divided cannot stand. That's why I'm concerned about America. Our government is divided. And according to Scripture, a house can't stand that way. But here he's referring to our house. And he says, our house, if it's divided, it cannot stand. If it's divided against itself. And so Satan's number one goal is to do what? His number one goal is to bind the strong man of our house. And the strong man of our house is the one who gives us the ability to keep our house in order. Amen. And if Satan can find a way to bind that strong man, then he can come in and he can put a disarray in your home. Do you know where most Christians fail with the body of Christ in the earth? They fail because they do not have the fruits of the Spirit developed in them. That's why I'm enjoying John's class so well about the fruits of the Spirit. He's saying things that finally I knew about, but now I know them. Why? Because I make myself available for hearing. I'll tell you what, I ain't going to lose out anymore. I'm not going to get to the place in my life where I think I've heard it all. And now everyone has to come into what I believe. That is a bunch of garbage. The Holy Spirit and God is unsearchable. You'll spend eternity discovering him. And so as I was reading this, I went, oh my gosh. And you know what he's referring to? Is your inner man, once he gets born again, Jesus is doing the prophetic thing here. He said, once it gets born, he has to go to your outer man to get permission to do what he needs that is necessary for a friend of his on his journey. You don't tell me. You cannot tell me that the Holy Spirit can have his way in your life as long as your outward man is in any form of control. It won't work. And that's why Jesus brought into the statement, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then whom do your children? What is this, a double standard? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. You want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Don't wait for him to speak through you. You open your mouth and you begin to speak and he will infuse it. Amen. Yes. When you're a pastor of a church and you tell someone who's dying, what are you doing about speaking in tongues? Oh, I know I should do that. Why don't you do it? Well, I just don't have the energy to do it. Well, you have the energy to speak in English, don't you? Oh, well, you got a point there. You know what the point is? The difference between life and death. You pray in tongues to build your most holy faith. When you're speaking out in tongues every day, people, there is an energy that gets on the inside of you and fires you up. I'll never forget this letter. I still got the letter up there in my office. This gal said she got a hold of some of our cassette tape, and she said she got a revelation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she said she began to speak in tongues, and she got all fired up, and just seemed like she couldn't get enough of God. She was about ready to blow up. And somebody came to her and said, "You better be careful. You're becoming so spiritually minded, you'll be no earthly good. And that won't do you any good." And so the end of the letter was, "Pastor, how do I get back to where I was? I should have never listened to him." Well, you can. And I'm going to tell you something there is, your outward man does not like being disciplined, but you eventually have got to let that fruit grow in you for self-discipline and start praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, is the only way you're going to get enough strength in you to enjoy the full benefits of the kingdom of God, and so that your life will have meaning to somebody else's life. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to let my outer man rule what the Holy Spirit wants to do on the inside of me. I made my decision. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need 5 more days vacation after that. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Precious Holy Spirit, I love you. Holy Spirit, I want to live with you constantly on my mind. Holy Spirit, strengthen me today. Put a commitment in me so I will never go astray. What are we waiting on? Are we waiting on the Holy Spirit to do it for us? You're wrong. The Holy Spirit's waiting on you to do something. And he'll back you. He'll move with you. So what was you saying, Pastor? Become mindful of the Holy Ghost. Somebody needed this sermon today. You know, we live in a world where little children need our fire. I watch on TV every once in a while at Shriners Hospital and little kids with cancer and stuff. Boy, it just tears my heart out. And the parents, they thank us for giving money to help them. It's the only way they know how. You can't tell me God isn't behind doctors. He is. He knows how to provide for even the unregenerate man because he loves the world. Of course, some people I wonder about, but anyway. Hallelujah. This morning, if you've been really lackadaisical in your commitment to the Holy Spirit, I want you to come forward and let me pray with you. I want a little bit of that fire that's in me get on you. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, when you get fired up, it's easier to get healed. It's easier to believe God for things in your own home, your own life, your own family. You know what? I take a look at our little kids. You know, I went out and stopped off and saw the little 2-year-old and under, you know, and I saw your little boy run up to me with little Noah, you know. And I didn't realize I had two cookies in my hand. And I was eating the one cookie. And I thought they were excited to see me. They had those eyes on them cookies. And I'm eating them. And then I realized both of them were looking at me. And I took the two pieces, and both of them didn't even hesitate. Reached out. And you know what? After they got those cookies in their mouth, I hope it was okay to give them a cookie. They turned around and took off. I was all finished. I didn't have no more cookie left. I gave it all to them. That's what the world needs. They need what we have. And we got to be ready to give it to them. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, people, it's up to God to have His way in our life. Hallelujah. It is. And you know something? If you've let yourself slip in praying in the Holy Ghost and everything, come on up here. Don't hesitate. Just be open. I'm glad you're all so perfect. I'm at these last 5 days. I put a finger on myself. Slacked up a little bit there. Yeah, your pastor. That's all right. I learned how to slap myself. Back into shape. Things can so change and turn around. Hallelujah. Yes, Pastor, but I've tried it before. Well, shut up and give God a chance. A lot of us tried things. But where did it get us? But when we trust in His love for us, just stick with Him. And it'll come out. It'll begin to work. Pray with me. If there's anybody here that has never received Jesus as your personal Savior, boy, now's the time to come up here. Anybody? Did you guys get something here this morning? You're awful quiet. There's no hallelujahs or amens. We want more of God. We want a move of God, and we want more of the knowledge of God. We want to pursue God to the fullness of what He is. That's my heart. How about you?
Yes.
Okay, with that said, my gosh, it's only 5 after 12. God bless you. You can go. God bless you.